Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
John Sullivan.
It's Babs Iyegbuzi.
Michael Thompson talking.
It's the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Xavier Rose.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer Tommaso Ciampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Let me tell you a little secret. Detroit is a football town, but don't just take it from me.
Thanks, Barry. Detroit picked me.
Detroit picked me. Detroit picked me!
This city embodies everything I bring to my job. Energy, passion, and grit. Detroit picked me.
Detroit picked me. I picked Detroit.
I picked Detroit.
Detroit picked me.
Detroit.
Having the NFL draft in Detroit is going to be great because they're going to get to see a fan base that's going to embrace the NFL draft like no one ever has.
I picked Detroit. No, wait a minute. Detroit picked me.
The pick is in.
The pick is in. The pick is in.
The pick is in.
Believe me now, the pick is Detroit.
Yeah, oh, we are live, ladies and gentlemen, of Sportscast Radio coming at you. March 22nd here on a Friday. I got the master of the duck quacking with us, Luke Newman, as always. Luke, how can you quack? Can you quack, Luke?
Quack. I mean, was it like a duck?
Yeah, and, you know, there's more to it, obviously. But a lot of excitement coming in tonight. As you can hear in the background, we have very people going crazy, and they don't listen. And that's okay.
It's Kid
Man.
Tablet.
Kid Tablet is going crazy. You can hear him screaming in the background, and I greatly apologize. He continues to get too close to the television. So we may have as our first live on air where we Velcro a child to a couch.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Does that make me...
a pretty sweet idea.
Does that make me an accomplice? Is that what it's called? Because like, I'm
an accomplice?
Yeah, there you go.
You might become an accomplice. Where were you when they stuck that boy to the couch? You're like, I don't know where I was, man. So we got a little bit of a hodgepodge, if you will, hour number one here that we're going into. I did not get to do my favorite thing in the world, and that's sit at home and watch the March Madness the first 2 days as I've been stuck at work. But did you get to watch any of the March Madness?
I watched highlights. If that makes sense.
Anything stick out for you? Anything fun? Anybody do anything that you're like, hell yeah?
The kid from Oakland, the one guy, I don't know his name. He made like 10 three-pointers or something like that against Kentucky.
Spot on commentary as always.
that was my favorite. That was like the one thing that I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
He's talking about Trey Townsend, who went 6 or 15, I believe.
No, it wasn't him.
Oh, was it this kid named Jack Goatley?
Yeah, that's it. Goatley? I wanted to call him Goatley. That's why I didn't say it.
The Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Golden Grizzlies. They're taking on NC State, who took out Texas Tech.
Texas Tech were my boys.
We're going to head into the Sportscast Radio group. And as of right now, Matt Riddle. Yes, Matt Riddle has 180 points.
How does that make you feel, Ryan?
That's fine. I got 150. I'm right in there. At 170, we have Isaiah Davidson and whoever's finger bulletproof. Also, XFL Me Baby, but it's spelled Babby. It's also at 170. T-Rich27 on Twitter is their name at 160. Whoever's listening, that is ESPN fan 713-023-3770. They have 160 type of fifth. Myself, Tiger Style, named after Lee Moriarty, 150 points. And then we got TJ, My Bracket Is Gone Suck at 140. And Luke Busu at 140.
That's
and
tight.
You're the only one with an X over their team. And you selected McNeese State to win the whole thing.
I did. I was going for that like high risk, high reward type of thing.
You got the high part right of it.
I was killing it.
When it comes to the reward portion of it, nah, it didn't happen.
That's funny.
But first day's over here. Coming up tonight, there's just a couple games left, and then we get into that round of 32, and then things start kind of just getting wild. Right now, Duke's beating Vermont by 11, 3 minutes left in the game. Just pulled
Duke.
Up other scores. Duke's beating Vermont 15.
Okay, I thought you said Vermont's beating Duke. I was like, damn.
Texas A&M is beating Nebraska 94-72. Purdue up on Grambling 36-27. And Alabama's up 51-34 against the Charleston Cougars.
51-34.
Mm-hmm. Earlier in the day, we did have some finals that are out. Northwestern in overtime defeated FAU 77-65. Sydney, who did you pick to win the – oh, he's taking a poop. Never mind. There he is. He's back. Sydney, who did you pick to win the tournament?
Mom?
Yeah. Did you pick FAU? They were a number eight?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, they lost today. So my son's team has been eliminated, so his team out is as fast as yours, Luke.
Good. His team
he just
sucks.
Said no. Baylor defeated Colgate 92-67. San Diego State beat UAB 69-65. Marquette, 2-seed, 87-69 over West Kentucky. And we saw Clemson 77-56 over New Mexico. And UConn 91-52 over Stetson Hatters. I don't even know what that is.
Imagine how demoralizing that is.
Guys, we made the tournament. We're playing UConn.
Yeah. And then just get beat by 40 points.
Yeah, that's not how you want to do it. So, but next week we'll have more tournament action as we start getting into the actual, you know, next week we'll have the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, then we get to the Final Four and the championships. So we'll have more next week as we get into it. I did want to ask you about this before. Just about 20 minutes, we'll be welcoming our guy Todd Vandenberg, 12manrising.com, talking some Seahawks. A little bit later in the show, Lucas Mashering coming back on talking Dallas Cowboys. But what's your take on this Shohei Ohtani stuff that's going on?
It's the gambling thing, right?
Yeah, have you been paying attention to this?
I have not. I do not know. I do not know. Like, I know, like, didn't he, like, say it was his agent or something like that?
So, the announcement came 2 days after Mizuhara was fired by the Dodgers as reporters pressed for questions about at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. In the span of 2 days, Ohtani's handlers moved from saying the slugger had paid Mizuhara's gambling debts to his attorneys, announcing Ohtani had been the victim of a massive theft.
Damn. Man, he just robbed the Dodgers. He's about to get deported and just collect all that guaranteed money.
Ohtani expected to remain under the Dodgers' active roster while the league's investigation unfolds.
That's crazy.
He's not suspended because he is not linked directly to the bookmaker. And he's not being accused of doing anything with him. There's no evidence of any betting on baseball. So there's no need to take him off the field, but definitely doesn't help that somebody in this camp maybe owing some sort of a Yakuza bookmaker, apparently.
What's up with you and your Dodgers, man?
I don't know.
Scandals everywhere. Punching buttholes.
Look, that's just Trevor Bauer, okay? And, mind you, and he was acquitted of those charges that he didn't do. I'm just saying.
Wasn't OJ acquitted too?
Look, glove don't fit, bro. Like at the end of the day, somebody ran for those yards. Just saying. You can't. It's like if you're doing a like ECW or a WCW or a like Ruthless Aggression era WWE fantasy draft, somebody's gonna take Chris Benoit early.
Oh, I know it's me, first pick, maybe.
It's not the sexy pick, but you know, somebody ran for those yards. Somebody had to have had those matches he had.
Someone's ranked 90 in SmackDown versus Raw, okay?
I remember seeing a video. I think I actually sent it. I might have sent it to you after. Did I send you that thing with Stone Cold and Stephanie?
No.
When they're playing that hero song and he comes and he gets her off of that, like when Undertaker was going to sacrifice her.
Oh, you might have. That sounds familiar.
And then, like, he's getting ready to leave, and she hugs him, and everyone's like, oh, he's going to give her a stunner, but he doesn't. So, like,
you might have.
When I'm watching this, he hits, like, seven of those ministry guys with a chair, hits them all in the head. No big deal.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it. You don't even see any of them thinking about putting their hands up. And he just, you know, bam, he blasts Farouk in the face with a chair. Boom, he hits Bradshaw over the head with a chair. Boom, he hits Midian. Boom, he hits Mabel or Viscera. You know, he's doing all this stuff. And then you think about, you're like, wow, that was such a different time. And, you know, now it's like, well, that ties back to Chris Benoit. But at the end of the day, going full circle here. As I've been trying to kill time mode until our first guest comes on. Since we had no idea how tonight was going to go.
We're just having a good time.
I finished my battle pass. I'm pretty happy about that.
I'm watching your Instagram that I haven't watched. And like, yeah, you sent me that one. I was like, I'm pretty sure I watched that. That sounds super familiar.
One thing I wanted to bring up too, you had mentioned, we were talking to Elijah, something that I found kind of cool. I was like, what a quinky dink. But I remember back a couple months ago, I remember saying to you and Doof, and I don't know if I did Elijah, but you and Doof, I was like, man, JJ McCarthy has some really good mechanics. And I think that's kind of nice to have. And then everybody just destroyed him to the point that I was like, yeah, what am I thinking? I don't like this. This guy sucks. Thank you guys for talking me out of thinking about him. And then today you're like, I think I kind of like JJ McCarthy.
I do. His pro day. Did you go watch any of it after I texted you?
Mm-mm.
It looked really good. like I was thoroughly impressed.
JJ McCarthy pro day highlights. Let's see.
I saw an interesting video on Twitter today that it was like it was a guy and he was like, it's funny that everyone dog shits on JJ McCarthy because he had a good team, or like saying he's not going to be good and that his team carried him or whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then it's like weird if he goes to the Vikings, he'll have like the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's almost like a perfect fit for us. You just need a game manager. Look, and he's got a we got him Aaron Jones. So he's got a Blake Corum now.
I want Blake Corum though.
Sue, I'd get him. If we get Blake Corum, I mean, when are you going? You'd have to, what, fourth round?
Yeah, I think he's going to go early. Or one of them is going to go early to Dallas, I think.
Dallas?
You got to remember, they don't – Tony Pollard, their number one running back right now is Rico Dowdle or whatever that dude's name is.
Yeah, I guess it's – what happened to Deshaun Vaughn or whoever they drafted last year?
Deuce Vaughn? He's still there, but Deuce Vaughn is like 5'1" in like 120 pounds.
Oh God!
Yeah, he's like Darren Sproles. Yeah, he's like little. Yeah. Yeah, I think the Cowboys are gonna go early on a running back just to get one.
So who, like, I mean, I guess if you're going that way, then you think there's gonna be anyone that's gonna be left? I mean, are they taking Penix?
Who?
Dallas. I mean, how are you getting a quarterback if you're Dallas?
No, I don't want a quarterback. I said they're going to take a running back. Running back early.
Oh, I thought we were talking about J.J. McCarthy still.
No, because you said something about Blake. We could get Blake Corum, and then I said I think he's going to go to Dallas.
Oh, that's what threw me off. I'm sorry. Now I understand
Damn.
What you're saying.
Damn. You weren't even listening, dog.
Yeah, that's my fault. That's my bad. I was like, how are they? There's no way they're getting them. Here's the thing. Is it if the Vikings are going to get McCarthy, which it's more and more looking to be, I think at the end of the day, it's not that I'm mad we're going to, you know, of having him. I just don't want to trade up for him.
I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, because somebody else is going to.
I think anyone who wants that third or fourth quarterback, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I think is going to have to go in front of the Giants.
That makes sense.
Because I think I know Desmond from last week said, like, I don't think there's any way that they can draft a quarterback. I think if one falls, they're almost forced to because next year's class isn't as good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't understand why everyone keeps talking about, like, I obviously I think it's because of when we were talking with whoever mentioned the quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
next year. But, like, I don't know. Like, well, let's compare this. Let's compare this. This is a pretty good, I think this is a pretty good strategy that we haven't done before. So I'm looking at just a mock draft website, right?
Yeah.
And they have Curtis Rourke from Indiana as the top quarterback next year.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, they have Cameron Ward on there from Miami. They have Shadur from Colorado. Quinn Ewers from Texas. Riley Leonard from Notre Dame. Tyler Van Dyke from Wisconsin's on there. Carson Beck from Georgia, Cameron Rising from Utah, Cade Klubnik on Clemson, Connor Wegman on Texas A&M. So there's some, I don't think it's a horrible draft class.
No, but it's not like this year's draft class. Like if J.J. McCarthy was in next year's draft class, he'd be the number one quarterback.
Think so?
Yeah.
Are you taking J.J. McCarthy over Shadur?
Yes.
Wow.
Like this year, like compared this year, yes. Now, I guess, I don't know.
So Shadur had like a 700% win percentage higher than last year.
Did he?
Well, think about it. 2023 Colorado football record. Colorado in 2023 went 1-8 in the conference, 4-8 overall.
Just right? Dog shit.
But 2022, they went 1-8 in the conference and 1-11 overall.
Yeah, I suppose.
So they had a 300% win improvement. I'm just saying, was Michigan brought out a team that made the national championship? Like, the Shadur won those games. McCarthy didn't win his games, I don't think.
That's dumb.
Dumb or not, I feel like I'm not wrong.
You're not. You're 100% right. But,
I don't know. Well, okay, so give me this one, too, because I was going to ask you guys this, and I wanted to ask before. I'm pretty sure I know what Elijah is going to say, so I wasn't worried about him getting on. And by the way, I hope he's listening. I hope if he's still in his car going home from work, he came on and decided to listen to the boys. Got to show support. Take the big five quarterbacks this year. Who's number five?
I mean, what are your big five? What if my big five are different?
There's no way your big five are different.
Okay, so do you have...
So that means you're adding Bo Nix.
I can't do it. I'd have to fight Kyle.
Exactly. So you shouldn't. I don't know how you could have a different five.
Hold on. Give me a second. I'm writing them out. So it's you have Williams, May, Daniels, Penix, and McCarthy, right?
Yeah, unless there's someone I'm missing.
No, I think I got. So who am I taking? Who do I think's going to be the worst out of all five of these?
Yeah, who's the least you want?
Do you want my personal
answer? Yeah, who do you think is going to be the worst quarterback out of those five? That's what I'm asking you.
Drake May.
Okay, Drake May is also my number five. I think he is the worst quarterback out of them five. I 100% do. Who's your number four?
I'm going to go Caleb Williams.
I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy, but I thought about it.
Yeah, I think he has a shitty attitude. Did you see him try to ignore, Keenan Allen at his pro day? He looked right at him, and, Keenan went to go, shake his hand, and he acted like, oh, I didn't see you.
Yeah, that's the only reason I was asking now, because I know the Caleb Williams defense team will be coming in a few minutes.
Yeah, I think we might have the next Johnny Manziel with Caleb Williams. All the talent in the world, he killed it, and he just has a shitty attitude.
He said he thinks he can do everything Patrick Mahomes can do.
Yeah, and then I guess he did just, really basic, stuff at his pro day. And, when the reporters and teams asked him, why didn't you, do this, this, and this so we could see you or whatever, he was like, you guys could have watched 70 football games I played in my college career and seen that.
Well, there's some videos on here. Kim Williams is self-sabotaging his career. There's a video.
Yeah.
Somebody said, are you afraid to compete with them not doing this?
Yeah. So I'm gonna put Caleb Williams 4.
Okay. I'm gonna go McCarthy 4.
Okay.
Who's your 3? Is it McCarthy?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes.
I'm gonna go Williams 3. But I was there. Who's your 2?
Penix.
Penix is my 2, and then Jaden Daniels is 1?
No, Bo Nix is number 1.
Oh, God.
What's joking?
Cry me a river.
Bo Nix!
God, Bo Nix is such a turd.
He's your favorite. Don't even lie.
Man, I just – here's the thing about Caleb Williams, I have to say, is his pocket presence is great.
It is.
Probably the best pocket quarterback we've seen in a couple of years come out of college. But it just – there's something that makes me think that he's going to just not work.
Exactly. He's just not going to try, kind of.
I don't think he's not going to. Here's what I think is going to happen. Is I don't think he's going to be. I think he's going to be better than Bryce Young.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be better than Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you don't think so?
That's where I kind of put him, I think.
Okay. So he's like a Gardner Minshew.
I guess you're going to call him Gardner Minshew. That's fine. I don't know. It's a weird situation, and I just don't know how it's going to work out.
Yeah. I think he's going to, like that video said, I think he's going to just self-sabotage himself and, like, no one's going to want to work with him.
Or he's going to end up being, like, the greatest thing ever.
That is true. He could.
I think it's going to be just one of those hard, everything's greater. It's going to be one of those just downfalls.
Yeah.
But regardless of
that. What was that?
That was Mario.
Okay, that was loud. That was like the loudest soundbite in the world.
I didn't mean to hit that. I meant to play Kenny Omega.
We're talking Timu Solani days.
Just because I like hearing him say Timu Solani. But it's time to start talking some actual football, Luke. Luke, do you want to start us off tonight, and I'll come in second, and then we can flip later.
Yeah, you can introduce, though, because I'm not a good introducer.
Well, I'd be glad to do that. Todd, you with us?
In spirit, at least, yes.
you like that? Let's cue that up there. What's going on, man? It's great having you back on the show, Todd. Excited to talk some football, man. It's that time of year we all love, the draft and then the off season, and such good stuff here. Jacked. Really jacked to get into that Seattle team, but why don't you real quick go reintroduce yourself for all of our new listeners that may not have heard you over the years with us.
I'm Todd. I write for 12 Men.
Capulia!
been writing for them for several years now, wrote about the Seahawks even before that on another site, and yeah, I'm just excited to be back on the show. It's been about 700 years, I think about less than two, but, you know, it's great to be back with you guys. Super
Hell
fun
yeah.
Show.
Welcome, welcome. I'm going to dive right in at the quarterback position. What do you think Sam Howell's role on this team is going to be? Is he there just to back this team up, or does he have a legitimate shot to overthrow Geno as the starter?
He has a legitimate shot to overthrow Geno as the starter in 2025 because Geno has a huge cap hit in 2025. This year, unless Geno's arm and leg and head falls off, I won't say he has no shot. It's like Schneider said, John Schneider, the GM and now lord of all that happens in Seahawks football. Like you said, it's like bringing him in. Of course, yeah, you know, he'll compete. I mean, he's a competitive guy, but they did not bring him in to compete with Geno Smith. They brought him in to be a backup. I mean, the GM clearly said that. Now, if things play out differently in camp and Sam Howell suddenly stops making mistakes, stops throwing picks, and he does the same thing in preseason, like against first team, unlike Drew Locke looked great against third-teamers, then, you know, then we have a conversation. But nothing's going to happen this season. I mean, Geno Smith, I have no idea why there's a very vocal minority of 12s who think Geno Smith is the worst quarterback on the planet. And I'm like, what? What have you been watching? What have you been watching? Is he the best quarterback? No. But he's a hell of a lot better than most of the quarterbacks out there. Having said that, I'm glad they got Sam Howell because I think he does have the potential to step up and be a starter in the future. I mean, like Schneider said, I'm going to quote Schneider all night long because why not? He's younger than like three or four of the guys in the draft, and he's got 2 years of experience in the NFL. It hadn't been a fun experience for him, but, you know, I mean, Well, look at who he had for quarterback coach and who he had for OC in with the Commanders. So very similar to Geno Smith in the situation he was put into when he was with the Jets and basically had no shot. And the difference is he won't have to wander the wilderness for 10 years to find a team. So I really like picking up Sam Howell. But, again, that's long-term. It's not this year. But several of the talking heads, you know, talking heads who know something other than like me, have said he's the best backup in the league. Which is like, yeah, it makes sense. So I'm really happy with the deal, especially because it's like next to nothing. He's on his rookie contract.
He wasn't too bad in Washington. I think he gets put into the situation of they just have a lot of problems, and he was easiest to just put it on. But, yeah, I definitely agree. I think Sam Howell is a nice little pickup. It's almost like drafting a guy without even having to draft a guy to be on your team, which is a positive, as you mentioned, with how young he is. Obviously, talking that kind of moves out of the quarterback discussion with this first round. And this has been one of the weirdest first rounds I've seen in a while. I've seen every team and their mother trying to trade up, down, left to right, go back, forward, you name it. Obviously, we'll get into, more of a general discussion, but just on the broad end, you guys draft right in the middle at 16. Are you expecting or hoping for some kind of a, knock at the door, jump in, start right away kind of guy? Or do you want them to just kind of feel out and grab the best available just to get more depth on this team?
Well, Schneider says in the first few rounds, they go with the best available at any position. And after that, like late day two, day three, then they look for needs. Like they need to look for needs now because they're pretty thin at guard, like paper thin at guard. So hopefully they can take a guard with their first pick. That being said, don't draft a guard with a 16th pick. Please don't do that. trade back. Go into the second round, pick up a couple more picks, and get a guard there. I mean, there aren't any guards that are like at that point. But yeah, they definitely need guards. I mean, they've addressed. They came into the draft. Like they came into free agency, like within minutes. It felt like needing linebackers because both their starting interior linebackers were gone. By design, because as much as I, Jordan Brooks, and who doesn't worship Bobby Wagner, that's a Seahawks fan, but they just don't fit the new scheme. And neither of them can cover very well, and they have to cover as linebackers. That's why they're gone. It wasn't like, oh, Seattle let them walk. It's like, yeah, because they don't fit the new scheme. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So, and they brought in linebackers. So they have the two linebackers they need. And they let their two starting safeties go. The two guys are the biggest cap hits in the league at safety, I believe. I know Adams was, and I know Dix was close, if not at the top. Combined, I know they had the biggest cap hit. They're both gone. And, again, by design, I mean, part of it is just because it was a massive cap hit, but also they need different types of players. They got three safeties now. So they don't have to address safety in the draft. They don't have to draft linebacker in the draft. I mean, they will at some point, but that doesn't need to be their first pick. They don't have to address quarterback in the draft. Tackle, maybe, but George Fant's a nice pick up there. He can definitely start. So, but what do they need? Guard. So, yeah, I really hope they move back. And because there's some good guards out there. I mean, how many first-round guards? There's no first-round guards. I mean, they're all tackles, right? So, and, unless by some miracle I've done some mock drafts and, a couple times, like Joe Alt fell down to the 16th round. I was like, that's not going to happen in real life. But, it did. Oh, my God, I'm not kidding. I did not work the draft. I did not force the trade or anything. It's like that's just what it came to. I did that about like 21 drafts, and that happened once. But weird things happen in the drafting. It runs start on players. It's like, oh my God, they took a quarterback. We got to take the quarterback. And we've seen that, right? Teams go on runs. Like five of the next seven picks will be wide receivers or whatever. and a guy will slip through the cracks. So it could happen. It won't, but it could. So, yeah, the draft, they need to – and Schneider has made a living out of moving back and making good picks. Now, it'll be interesting to see. The most interesting thing for 12s is to see what this draft looks like, because this is the first draft that Schneider is running, not Pete Carroll. So that's a major difference.
Yeah, getting a new guy in there is definitely from us going from Spielman to Ryan. What's our GM's name? I can
Kwesi Adolfo Mensah.
There you go. It was definitely weird because his first draft was that Kyle Hamilton draft.
God,
don't want to talk about it, but you know, whatever.
you mean when we traded pick 12 for 34 and pick 42 for 77 and like nothing that made sense?
And then drafted the position that Kyle Hamilton plays at pick 32, but
we
just got a
Kyle
worse
Hamilton
version of him.
We're going to take Lewis Cine, and then we're going to give the Packers Packers and Lions wide receivers.
Yeah, good old draft. All right, well, anyway.
Yeah, the draft can be painful, that's for sure.
Yeah, makes me cry. If the Seahawks here do stay at pick 16 and one of these elite pass rushers drop like Leitu Latu or Chop Robbins, could you see them going that direction?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can never have too many pass rushers. I mean, right. You know, you never have too many corners, so you can never have too many pass rushers. I mean, you'll fit them in. If that happens, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Will it happen? You know. It could, because weird things happen, right? If that happens, yeah. Because, you know, Boye Mafe, I was on him in camp before he exploded, just because based on, you know, what other players had done, like in the first year and how they progressed in the second year. So I figured, it's like, yeah, he's going to actually thought he'd hit double digits and, you know, if Mosa hadn't been gone for the season, I think that would have helped, you know, take a little heat off Mafe and he would have made it. But so I only see him as improving. Mosa should be back to full health. That's great. You got two great pass rushers, but that's just two. You know, they kept Daryl Taylor, which not a fan of keeping Daryl Taylor, but nothing's guaranteed. He got a $20,000 signing bonus. So if he continues to look like he can't do anything except rush the passer like six games a season, the new coach, he'll figure that out, and he'll be gone. So and even if he does improve, that would be fantastic, right? Mike McDonald can figure out how to make this guy work 17 games a season instead of six. Fantastic. He still can't do anything against the run. You're still going to need someone else out there. So, yeah, if one of the top guys drops down, that'd be awesome. Absolutely. Then, again, you know, you go for the best player available. What did they do last year? They don't need any corners, so, oh, here's a cornerback. We'll take him. They don't need any wide receivers. Here's a wide receiver. We'll take him. That worked out pretty well for them, right? So if you get a guy who has all appearances of being a star for the next 8-10 years, yeah, of course you take him. It doesn't matter how many guys you already have there. So, yeah, I definitely see that would happen. You know, other than quarterback, I don't think they would do that. But a pass rusher? Because you only need one quarterback, right? I mean, typically. But you need two or three pass rushers all the time on the field at the same time.
You know, you mentioned with the guard thing, and that's one I've noticed doing a couple mocks that I've had. And I'm just curious, a couple thoughts on a couple guys for you that I had, and I saw it. I was riding that same coattail of the guards. I had one draft where I had the Seahawks trade back to about 27 or so and grab Graham Barton, offensive guard from Duke. And I've also in one of my drafts, I know it's early. I know it's extremely early, but there's a guy that I feel like can do everything up front and may become a steal at the end of this thing, and that's Jackson Powers Johnson at Oregon. As a team in Minnesota who definitely needs a center more than anything. Like, we're a center away from having a fantastic O-line for the first time since probably Steve Hutchinson. And who was our left end, Luke, or left tackle with Hutchinson?
I don't remember.
I keep wanting to say Darius Underwood, but that's definitely
not it. Was
it
Bryant McKinney?
Yes, Bryant McKinney. Like, we haven't had a good line since McKinney and Hutchinson and them. And I really like this Jackson Powers Johnson kid because he can play guard, he can play center. Do either of those two guys do anything for you in the draft if you don't have to reach and can either just stay put or go back and get some more assets?
I'm not going to stay put at 16 and get him, but yeah, like even late, like you said, 27. Yeah. Because if you're going to move back that far, you're going to pick up a second or, you know, a couple thirds, you're going to get something. Right. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That would make perfect sense because right now they have, this is who they have under contract at guard. They have Anthony Bradford who looked okay at times, but looked like a rookie. And Tremaine Ancrum, which is like, okay, that's nice that we stole him from the Rams, right? But, you know, this...
Thanks, Rams.
Yeah, he's not been proven to be exactly a starter. He's young, right? But this guy does not project to be, oh, he's going to be an all-pro guard. And... you know, I feel your pain about not having an offensive line. The Cubs haven't had a strong offensive line since they did the deal and sent Max Unger packing, you know, for a tight end that they were never going to use like they used him in New Orleans just because that wasn't their scheme. You know, it's like the whole thing is like it's got to fit your scheme. It's got to fit your team. And that made no sense then, just like it would make no sense now to keep Bobby Wagner as much as it would be great. It's like he doesn't fit the scheme. So you have to say good luck and pile up 170 tackles for the Commanders because he probably will. I mean, he can do that in his sleep practically. But, yeah, as far as guard goes, they've got to get guards, plural. I mean, literally they have two. And neither of them – I mean, Bradford could definitely turn out to be good. It was just, you know, rookies – talking to rookie guards play out, right? I mean – I expect he'll be quite a bit better in his second year, but Anchor's not a starter. He's a backup. And George Fant can play guard, but considering what they paid him, he's worth what they paid him, but considering that, they're picturing him, he's probably going to be taking Abe Lucas's spot for quite a while because they don't know if Lucas is ever going to be healthy. I mean, if Lucas is healthy, then fine. Perfect, great, but he's not. He hasn't been, and there's no projection on what's going to happen. So Fant's playing right tackle. He's not going to be able to be plugged in at guard because he's going to be busy. So, yeah, definitely I can see them moving back, taking a guard or, you know, hopefully even like early second because they're going to get more picks that way if they go back that far because there's plenty of good guards available. I mean, again, it's not like they're the glamour position, but if you have any, you kind of need them. So
it's such a hard position too, because like you said, it's not like this sexy pick. Your fan base is going to go buy jerseys of it, everything. But the meat and potatoes, it's like you got to keep these people up and alive from getting annihilated out there.
And you got to open holes up the middle. I mean, offensive line tackles are the stars, and tackles aren't really stars, but for offensive line, then they are, right? And then you got center. Well, there's only one center, and the guards are just kind of like, oh yeah, that guy. And except it's those two guys, and yeah, they're kind of critical. And the Hawks have they were lacking last year in guard play. They were lacking the year before in guard play, and it's been a while, so it would be really nice to solidify that offensive line for sure.
Obviously too, real quick, I got one other thing I want to kind of run by here, just because you had mentioned it really sparked my interest with it, and that's, you know, last year for quality, Jackson Smith and Jigma, great pick, did what it was supposed to do. He's going to be good going forward. Is this kind of going to be the end of Tyler Lockett Are we going to see him slowly start to leave, or is he still going to be viable?
Tyler Lockett?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Lockett's is viable as long as Tyler Lockett wants to be viable, until he builds his multi-billion dollar real estate empire. he'll be out there. I mean, the guy is so underrated. People forget that the year before, he led the Seahawks in reception and receiving. Just the year before. You know, and it's like, in today's NFL, in today's NFL, as he speaks from like 1,000 years ago, it's like there's an awful lot of three receiver sets, right? The trick in Seattle, and it's a nice problem to have, right? But they just signed Noah Fant. They re-signed Noah Fant. And they let their other two tight ends go. The tight end they brought in is, he can catch, but he catches like 15, 20 balls a year. He's there mainly to block. So Fant is going to be targeted, hopefully, quite a bit more. But then you have four main targets, right? And so how do you work that all out? They certainly have a chance at doing that because Ryan Grubb will be interesting. We'll get to Ryan Grubb in a bit, but I assume. So back to your question, Tyler Lockett, if they had decided to move on from him, they would have moved on from him. I mean, there's a big cap hit. And instead they restructured his deal to keep him on board, which I think was really, really smart. Because Jackson Smith and Jigba, I totally agree. I think he'll continue to improve his play. I think he'll be great this year. And Lockett could very well be receiver number three. And I guarantee you he doesn't care as long as the team wins, because that's who the guy is. Heck, for that matter, JSN could be wide receiver number one this season. I mean, he's got that much talent. I mean, we know he does.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how everything plays out. So, yeah, I agree. He was an awesome pick. It took a while to get going. But, again, it's because mainly they thought he was the Eskridge 2.0. And it's like, run in the flat. It was like, okay, line up in the slot. You go 2 yards. And I mean, that's all they did with him for the first few games. Like, how is he supposed to look like a first-round pick if you don't use him like a first-round pick? And
there's
a lot
of
drops,
Bijan
right?
Going on there. Bijan Robinson gets the same treatment. God.
Yeah, and then you know, famously, Gino went over and talked to him and, you know, gave him the little pep talk and said, man, I know you got it. And it's like, don't get down on yourself. It's like, I see you out there. It's like, it's on me. Like, which is another reason why I love Geno Smith. It's like, Geno Smith takes on all the blame, all the time. If something goes wrong, it's on Geno. It's not on the coaches. It's not on the player who dropped the ball. It's on him every freaking time. You know, when you look at his reaction to Drew Locke, you know, leaving, is like, oh, man, I'm so grateful for all your help. It's like, miss you, brother, and stuff. And that's legitimate. What does he tweet when they announced Sam Howell was coming? Baller. Like, this dude is not afraid of competition at all. And he supports his teammates. That's why they love this guy in the locker room. So having Geno there is definitely going to help JSN, of course, because he knows that Geno's in his corner. Of course, the thing is, Geno's in everyone's corner. And that's one reason why he's excellent. And on top of that, we have Jake Bobo, who was phenomenal in limited use, and should have been limited use because, you know, I mean, he was the fourth wide receiver. And at that point, you had three tight ends who could all catch the ball. So, you know, there's only one football. There's only so many plays. So, but Tyler Lockett will, you know, he may see his catches drop to 50. But I guarantee you, 15 of them are going to be right at the sideline with his toes just barely in the turf. And another five or six are going to be at that corner of the end zone, making some, you know, DB look like an absolute fool, even if he's hanging on him like a sweater. I mean, dude wears quarterbacks like the cardigan, man, and he still makes the catch. And just Tyler Lockett is so underrated. It's just a shame. So,
yeah, I always like Tyler Lockett. And I'm just, you know, I'm thinking, okay, he's the odd man out just by age, and it's just a matter, you know, I'm just a matter of waiting to see how long he goes. But I agree. I think he's I think he's a fantastic, and I think he always is going to be. And I think if you get to put him in a spot where he's the number three, it's just going to make him more dangerous. I mean, if they got to put a linebacker on him or something, I mean, it's game over.
Yeah, it is. And off the field, I mean, you know, all the chair work and stuff like that, which is like, okay, NFL's a business, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. But it's like, look what he did for the team. Last year, he restructured his contract so they could free up cap money. This year, he does it again. Restructures his contracts so they can free up more money. It's like, this guy does everything he can to make the team succeed. Everything. As opposed to a certain quarterback who no longer plays for the Seattle Seahawks, who no longer plays for the Denver Broncos. Talk about contract, man.
I was waiting for it. Is the hot knife gonna go in at all?
I sincerely hope he does. I hope he starts for the Steelers. I hope he plays well. I mean, he came around last year for the Broncos, right? I mean, his game wasn't as good as his stats. We all know that because you watch what's going on. I mean, he's doing the same stuff he was doing for Seattle in the last couple of years, not seeing open players, overthrowing open players. You know, and it just got to be too much. Of course, that's not why he left. He left because he thought he was the team and was like, oh, well, you know, you guys should fire the head coach and GM because, like, dude, they are one and two of one and two people. You're one of 53.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know, so, and look what Denver's gone through since they made that. You know, it wasn't just so much the trade that they made that hurt Denver. It's the deal they gave him. Like,
yeah.
Good God. I mean, we're swallowing our pride in Seattle with the cap hit, you know, that we're taking from Jamal Adams, right? And that was the issue with Jamal Adams. It wasn't so much the trade we made. It was the deal that they signed him to. Of course, the difference is Jamal Adams got injured, and it's hard to play when you're injured. Basically... Mr. Dangerous, you know, he's had injuries a little bit. Mainly, he just forgot that what kind of a player he was. And that was really clear, you know, the whole let Russ cook stuff. And it's like he thought he had become Aaron Rodgers, except without brain damage. And he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not that kind of quarterback. And it's like he just, for whatever reason, he didn't buy into the kind of player he was anymore. And part of it is like he's not quite as quick as he used to be, not quite as mobile. He's still plenty mobile and can still move. But he tried to get away from that and shouldn't have done that. And you know, I don't blame him for taking what he got from Denver, of course. It's like whatever you can get. There's totally sidetracked. People who complain about athletes making money or actors making money, you do realize someone's signing that check, right? Whoever signed the check has more money.
Yeah, it's not like they're just giving themselves
back. I don't care if you're making $500 million on a contract. You're still labor.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is paying that. Someone can afford it. So, you know, relax. Having said that, yeah, the Broncos were stupid to give him that contract. Not as stupid as the Browns were for giving Watson that gigantic guarantee, but, you know.
That's it.
So,
phenomenal effect. You know, one gets it, guy's getting it, the next guy gets it.
Yeah.
You know. Rinse and unfortunately repeat, but let me leave you with this last question here.
Yes.
What do you want to, if you had to just nail it down, pick 16, no trading, who's the guy you want to see come out of that envelope?
Pick 16, no trading. Well,
yeah,
you're
in that war room. And you're who do you want to fall at 16 that's a believable, logical pick that could walk out of that building as a Seahawk?
Let me pull up.
Because once again, as I said, it's such, you know, you're in such a good bad spot. You know what I mean? You're right in the middle.
Yeah.
You get ahead of all those other ones, but you got all those other ones in front of you.
Yeah, at this point, I'm not going to – I'm sorry to screw up your question, but I'm not going to stand pat. I'm going to move back.
<That's>
I'm going to drop back. You know, unless Joel Alt falls to me at 16, you know, Cooper DeJean, actually one of the mocks they did, and this is what's crazy, Joelle fell to me at 16, and I thought, oh, cool, now we can trade. So one team was stupid enough to take Daryl Taylor off my hands for number 17 and, like, next year's first. So I took Cooper DeJean out of Iowa because, again, do they need corners? No. Do you need a great – when do you not need a great corner, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So – but I would move back and take a guard and then maybe even take another guard with my next pick. It's like, man, they are hurting at that position. They are hurting. But there's a lot of really good players late in the thing. It's like he might not even get drafted, but Jalen Green on the edge,
mm-hmm.
that dude is a beast. That's crazy. He missed like a third of the season. He practically led the NCAA in sacks. It's like, what the heck? Like, and I know he's come up with an injury, and I know he's playing for JMU, and it's like, okay. And it's like, okay, what was the competition? Yeah, I get it. I don't care. He had the same competition as everyone else in that conference. Nobody else was doing what he was doing. He was blowing everybody up. It's like, why would you not, like, it's a sixth-round pick maybe, or why would you not take a shot at someone like that? Absolutely, I would do something like that. I'm more interested in what happens on the back end of this draft than the front, honestly, because the front, you know, they'll get the best talent available, whatever it falls to. I'm much more interested in what they do at the back end of it.
Yeah, I feel like Seattle has a pretty proven track record, regardless of who's drafting, I think, too, of making these picks counts.
Malik McDowell ring a bell? I don't know. They've had their issues. Here's an example of what happened.
You know, as an example, you know, I think if I remember watching, I think pick 15, they took Bruce Irvin, and I said who the hell
yeah,
before
yeah.
Berman, I think, said it. And the guy was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, like, I just I've seen them do fairly well.
Overall, they've done great.
Know,
that was a
nice.
Killer draft. Here's an example of what happens, and I did it on Pro Football Focus, and you can tweak it. So I tweaked it to draft stupidly. You know, it's like totally random, not drafting for needs, not drafting for talent, just whatever happens, right? So the 16th pick, I got Marvin Harrison Jr. Then I traded into the second, and Jaden Daniels was available in the 47th pick. I got Chop Robinson in the third. Graham Barton went in the fourth. So, yeah. You can tweak these draft simulations to be completely moronic. I didn't do that for the real draft because that's never going to happen. I mean, they could all be coked out of their minds and they're not going to draft like that.
Yeah, somebody get fired.
Coca-Cola, kids. Coca-Cola.
Oh, I love it. It's going to be fun, man. This is a really good... exciting draft, I think, because there's a lot of really top-end talent. And I've never seen so much movement, Chad. This is going to be fun. I'm excited. Real quick, obviously, I want to have you replug everything again for all of our listeners just because, you know, I want to make sure they can get out there and read your stuff. It's always – you have more knowledge than most do, and it's always appreciative to chat with you. And hopefully, too, the day before the draft when we do our mock draft, we can get you back to draft at 16. And maybe
awesome.
Joe Alt falls to you at 16. Who knows how that goes?
Oh, my gosh. Weird thing. Stranger things have happened, right? DK Metcalf is like, oh, that's like, this guy can't run routes. It's like, okay, sure. We'll take him in the second round. Thanks. So if DK Metcalf can fall in the second to the second, Joe Alt could fall to 16th. I mean, you never know, right? So
yeah, it's a possibility. And look, I think you've done one of these on-air mocks with us, and there's been some rando things that have happened on these things, too. I remember one or two years ago we redid it because we're like, this is not going to happen. We have to do this over because this is just not. But, throw everything one more time for all of our listeners because, like I said, I want to make sure they can get that information because this is that crunch time, man. We're in that five-week crunch right now, so.
It is crunch time. And yeah, 12thmanrising.com. That's 12thmanrising.com. Yeah, and you'll find Lee Vowell. He's the site expert. He's like 18 times smarter than I am. And he writes a lot there because that's his full-time gig now. And there's several of us writing there. And I'd say maybe I'm like the seventh best on. I think there's six of us, so I'm probably like seventh best on there. So definitely worth a visit to 12thmanrising.com for sure.
Look, I'll say I'm biased, and you and Lee are the two best because you're the two that have been on all the time. So I'm just going to biasly put you up there.
I politely
haven't spoken to the other people. Well, man, appreciate it so much having you jump on. And like I said, I'm going to, you know, myself or Luke will reach out as we get a little closer to that draft and hopefully get you on and do some more fun, man.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. Always a blast to be with you guys.
Hell yeah. We'll talk soon, man. Thanks again, Todd. Todd Vandenberg, 12th Man Rising, talking about your Seattle Seahawks, Luke.
Mine.
I'm intrigued, man. They're in a spot in the draft where it's 16 is so, you know what
weird.
I mean? Like it's like you're right there. It's like when we do the fantasy drafts, like on Madden or NBA, and we always get right in the middle. We're like, God damn it.
It's like you're not getting the best, but you're not getting the second round best.
I will say while this is going on, Daniel Jeremiah released some more information. As y'all know, that's the homie now because Luke did his Zoom call. So he's just the homie now. We just call him that.
Yeah, he's our forever homie.
Has the Vikings trading with the Cardinals at 4 to get McCarthy?
No.
Has the Raiders at 13 getting Penix?
Ooh.
And has the Jets trading up to 5 to take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
The Jets? No, that's not going to happen. They just signed Mike Williams.
So?
I guess, maybe. And they have Garrett Wilson still.
Yeah, that's true. Wait, Mike Williams is, come on, man. The only person who likes Mike Williams is Jordan Jashik, the instant classic, because he hasn't been fantasy.
But you just, hold on a second, okay.
I mean, Mike Williams, Garrett Wilson, you can't tell me you wouldn't rather add Marvin Harrison Jr. on there and not have to play as much of Xavier Gibson, Alan Lazard, or Jason Brownlee. And you want to talk about getting, you know, Rodgers complains he never gets weapons drafted for him. You better shut his mouth if he gets him.
Yeah. They only paid Mike Williams $15 million. So it's not like a huge gap, but.
And is there only a 1-year deal?
Yeah.
There you go.
I feel like that's a lot of money to pay for your third wide receiver, then.
Isn't that a pretty nice problem to have?
I suppose.
You know what I'm saying?
But what do I know, man?
I don't know, man.
Man.
I'm intrigued by that because if this happens where Jets move up to 5, they have the Chargers in at 10 taking Talisi Puaga. So
that's
Harbaugh gets his O-line that he wants anyway. I don't know, man. I still think that we should see if there's a way we could pry Herbert from him.
That's right.
Do I think it can happen? Hell no.
No, me neither. I think he'd get fired.
Do you think they'd fire him before he even got
there? Oh, yeah. If he went in there and in the first 3 months of being employed, got rid of every offensive talent that team had, like, it just was like, all right, we're starting fresh.
Oh, my gosh. That was loud as heck.
on my knee.
We'll be having Elijah will be joining us shortly, I believe.
We'll see.
I mean, should I grill him or about not listening while he was not here?
Yeah, you should ask him questions.
Okay.
Like the police.
And then coming up in about 20 minutes, Lucas Mascherin coming on talking about the Dallas Cowboys. He was working for the Landry hat, like I said. I just don't know if he's still kicking it over there. TheLandryHat.com.
You're my Landry hat.
Jerry Trota's still over there. He's a good dude. Like
you're a good dude.
Thank you. I try so hard. Yeah, I don't think Mascherin works for them anymore.
Well,
are you okay?
Yeah, I yawned.
We've had Lay on before, I believe.
Who's Lay?
Randy Gersey. He's been on.
Yep, I know Randy.
He used to write for the Browns, I think it was before. I think he used to. Oh, he's writing for the Cowboys still. But he was writing, I think, for the Browns before. I don't know why he switched over. Probably because it's the Browns. Yeah, don't see any Mascherin over there. I'm sure he's got some good stuff going on, but he has a lot of good knowledge. He's always hell of a fun talk. Did you, by chance, Luke, come to the table with a 3 strikes?
I can think of one right now if we do yours first, and then I'll have one ready for you.
Somebody's got a little panic envy over here.
Who?
Elijah in the house.
Are we on? Like, are we on live right now?
We're doing it live.
We've been on for an hour.
I thought we were doing it at 9 o'clock.
No, I went and got Sydney early, and then the other
you didn't tell me that.
It. Oh, we couldn't switch time anyway with the guests.
Oh.
So theoretically, it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, if I would have known that, I would have been back earlier.
Way to make him feel bad, Ryan. You better apologize.
Sorry. Hey, I'm not trying to make him feel bad. He said he wasn't going to be able to do it for a while or until later.
What?
And then I said, I can't do it till later either. And then you said we couldn't do the interview later. So then I said, okay, I'll figure it out. And then I figured it out.
I'm going to just, okay, sounds good.
I think I did okay.
Okay, sounds good.
At guys' night, I'm going to help Elijah beat your ass.
That's fine. I'll take both of you out.
We're both, like, super tall, and you're, like, just really short.
I don't care how tall you are.
That's fine.
Look, I'm gonna come at you guys like
I
this.
Thought I won the fight.
You thought you won the fight? Why?
You didn't do nothing.
It wasn't a blow.
Wait a minute.
So who's our next interview?
Is the thing you posted in Discord a joke?
What?
Luke?
Oh, no. Oh my God.
No. I did a mock draft during that last one, and I got Daniels where I said, and, like, everything makes
sense. So what happened?
I didn't know if you were in the Discord or not, Elijah. We were talking during the last interview, and he did a mock.
Just,
and he was able to get
seen it.
Jaden Daniels at 11. You just what?
I just seen everything.
Oh, okay.
That'd be tight.
I said,
yeah,
everything.
Makes
I said
sense.
To Luke, I said, do I ask him if he was listening to us in the car?
I was not because I was.
Because you didn't know we were on.
Music. I didn't know you were on.
Because I didn't know we were on. See, and as they all look, and a wise man once said this right here, something.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. So we did a little exercise that I'm intrigued by, because both of ours came out not how I expected it to, and it was kind of interesting.
Okay.
out of the big five quarterbacks, who is you, this is you. Who would you take last out of the five?
Drake May.
Is that unanimous? Yes.
That is,
yes, it is. We all said Drake May at five.
That's good. That means we're kind of on the same page.
Now, I can guarantee you the rest of it won't be the same. I think I'm pretty sure. But Luke shocked me, and maybe you shocked me too. So, who do you have four?
Four? Out of the big five, I probably got McCarthy at four.
I reluctantly put him at four, but I did.
He's moving up. He's moving up for me, but still, like I just.
Oh, and I said this real quick to Luke.
I don't
earlier.
See
I said,
it.
I said I told you, Luke. I told Doof, maybe Elijah. I think I did Elijah. I was like, I really like this guy's mechanics and everything. A few months ago, and everyone's like, he sucks. And then now I'm so down on him because I got beat down so much. Everyone's like, I kind of like him. I'm like, you guys are going to make me become a depressed woman over here. Just
I've never
got dumped at prom.
I never said he sucked. I never seen him as
I've never heard before today the three of you say one good thing about him is basically where I'm going.
I always said that I wouldn't pick him. I wouldn't trade up to pick him. I still feel like he's a first-round quarterback, but
that's fair.
To like to give up what we'd have to give up to get in a position to trade for him, I don't see it. I don't see the value in it. I would rather just wait and get a guy who looks to me like way better on film in Penix without having to give up really anything, especially now that we got the 23rd pick. But he is like. He to me is a first rounder, just not in the top like 10, I guess. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's fair. And I said too, like I don't want to trade for him, but I wouldn't be mad if we got him. But okay.
Yeah.
Luke, who'd you say at three?
Three, I had JJ McCarthy.
Oh yeah, because you had Caleb Williams at four.
I had Caleb Williams at four.
I had Caleb Williams at three.
Yeah, we're way different. I had Penix at. I had Penix at three.
I have Penix at two, and Daniels
and then
at
I have
one.
Daniels at two and Williams at one.
Yeah, yeah, and I knew you were going to be number one on Williams. I knew that immediately. But that's why I was like, I'm kind of curious to see how the rest of it pulls out.
Penix is close for me though. Like if he didn't have all of his injury stuff. To me, he very well could be by QB1. But even though the injuries don't bother me as much as most people do, I still have to take that into consideration when kind of putting him up against Daniels and Williams. So
I think as a Vikings fan is where I'm looking at this. Daniels and Penix to me would be the best two fits for this team. I just don't think Caleb Williams fits on the Vikings, and I think that's why I have him so low. Is a part of me thinks is always going to think purple when I'm drafting, whether it's me being biased or not. And I don't see him coming in here and being the alpha and it getting over very well at first, and that could be the problem. But I think Daniels and Penix would be so. Perfect for this damn team because of the way they play, the way that the way that their head seems to be. I think we could, this could be, you know, this is Jefferson's team, I think, at that point. And I think they would be okay with it until they obviously would take a captain's role as the quarterback. You almost have to. But I feel like they would fit better in this locker room, in this team scheme of things. And that's where the whole thing came in, where we started talking about the McCarthy thing. Because if you need, and Luke pointed this out, the closest thing to Michigan is probably this Vikings team.
No, I don't think so. Michigan
runs the
ball.
He's got a running back. Michigan ran the ball, and we just got Aaron Jones.
But we don't run the ball, though. offensively, we don't run the ball. Even if we probably have a good running back, we're probably going to pass the ball.
But how do you know they don't try it if they get J.J. McCarthy is my question.
Because their offensive line, like,
they go, well,
can't block
maybe
up the middle.
That's true. That's true. And that goes back to, we already brought up, what's it, the Oregon center's name already got brought up once tonight when we were talking with Lee. Or not, Howard
Johnson.
Yes,
like the offensive line is, like, just, I don't know, just, like, up the middle. The offensive line is just so bad.
But if we run to the outside and then, you know, short throws here and there, and with a good defense, I don't think that we're that much farther off than that Michigan team. Like, where maybe he would fit really well here.
Yeah, but, like, with the Vikings offense, though, you got to, like, I feel like they run a lot of, like, option stuff where you got to kind of throw guys open and you, like, it's not, like, quick out, like, the plays, like, take a little longer to develop. And with, like, McCarthy, I've never seen him really be able to throw guys open. He's, like, throws a lot of checkdowns. And he throws to guys, like, when they're open. And his weakest part of his game is probably his deep ball. I mean, he's got a strong arm, but for some reason he's not, like, he just doesn't throw the deep ball very good or accurately. So, I don't know. Like,
I think that's what helps with KOC, though, too, is that guy's, like, the new quarterback coach, whisperer guy.
He's the whisperer.
You know, maybe he can fix him. Or maybe it's just McCarthy didn't get enough reps because they didn't let him do anything.
Yeah, that could be it.
It's like, I'm starting to try to, like, obviously, like I said, I liked what I saw watching those playoff games back in that playoff game in December before the national championship. That's what got me thinking about him. But I'm just, in my head, I'm trying to wrap it around because I think at the end of the day, there's no way we're not taking him, I think, at this point. We were just talking about Daniel Jeremiah, put on his new mock. He has us trading to 4 to take him.
Yeah, which I'm just like, ick, but.
And then and then they got the Jets taking Harrison at 5 trading up. But if we're going to move up, I want Daniels. I want to either stay put and take McCarthy or Penix or trade up for Daniels, I think.
Yeah. That's where I'd go, because I think I saw something today saying that the Bears are pretty much, they've already, like, said they're going to take Williams or whatever, so.
Yeah, especially after getting rid of Fields, like, they made the decision now.
Yeah, I just, like, if you're going to trade up, only, like, I'm not the Vikings, obviously, but only guy I'm trading up for at this point is Daniels. Because I feel like you can still get – our defense is still, like, just – it's made some improvements, but more work could be done. And you can get an elite prospect on defense at multiple – like, at any position you want at 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can still get – like a really good quarterback in Penix. You might not be able to get McCarthy, but you can still get a really good quarterback in Penix at 23. I don't know. Like, if I'm the Vikings, I'm looking at the value and just having 2 first round picks and still, like, just the flexibility to be able to just add more. I don't know.
New mock, also the same one, has the Raiders at 13 taking Penix.
I could see that. So
he might not even last to 23.
He might not even last that long. And then we're, like, looking at Bo Nix.
Oh.
So maybe the Vikings have steam that Penix isn't going to get, like, 223.
Yeah, and that's why they're doing that. And that would be fair, too. It's like, I think at the end of the day, I think there's a really good chance that all 5 are going to go within the top, like, 8 picks. And there's going to be 2 teams. I think us and the Raiders might both trade up. It's just getting I can't wait for this draft, man. Are you up on the Discord chat real quick? Let's see here. So that way you know what's going on with it. How did that mock go for you, Luke?
I was muted. Sorry, I was yawning. No. It went good. I mean, like, so I could see everything.
How the hell did this happen?
So I have Caleb Williams 1.
Okay.
I have Drake May 2.
Okay.
I have Marvin Harrison Jr. 3.
Okay.
I have Malik Nabers 4.
Mm-hmm.
I have then the Chargers taking Rome Odunze since they just traded and cut all their wide receivers and tight end.
Okay.
Right? You with me so far?
Yep. Still follow.
Okay. So Giants, I have taking Joe Alt. They need a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I have Tennessee taking Tyrion Arnold.
Okay.
I have Falcons taking Dallas Turner.
Yeah, which I think is a given.
Yeah. Bears. So this is where usually I have a wide receiver, but since they just brought in Keenan, I have them taking Jared Verse to help the defense.
Okay.
Then I have the Jets taking Olu Fashanu.
Wow.
And now we're at the Minnesota Vikings at pick 11.
Luke, if that draft goes that way, not only are you the only 10 I see, but I will give you your money back for the cabin.
But, like, see what I mean? Like, every pick kind of makes sense.
I know, it's because it's a weird draft.
And then at 12, I had Broncos getting J.J. McCarthy then.
But they can have him.
I want
to have him. My thought is.
Well, my thought is.
Oh, man. Why, do you remember this tennis player?
No! No!
Yeah, what the
heck? Remember that guy? Oh, he just lost Luke.
It's like the Michael Scott of tennis.
That was so fun. No! No!
No! No!
He's so bad.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe how bad that guy is.
No! No!
It's so damn, I can't stop laughing.
Was that like at a big tournament, too, or?
I think it was. Let me go on to Google. Who or what tennis player yelled, no, no? I can't. I can't find it. I don't even know how to find it. No, no. I typed in tennis players screaming no over and over.
I probably shouldn't be typing some of this shit in.
Oh, man. Oh, there he is. He's back. Hello?
Hello? I'm back. I'm here.
So what does the Seahawks guy have to say?
A lot.
Fill me in.
Are you going to elaborate for him? They're just saying a lot.
We talked about Sam Howell and how...
Does he think that's their future QB?
Yep, he does. Not until 2025, though.
Okay.
When the contract kicks in for Geno. But he had a good point. Sam Howell's younger than some of these rookie quarterbacks.
That is true.
And has 2 years of NFL experience.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's a good trade for Seattle. Like, I think Howell's got some talent and could be good. He just happened to have a horrible stretch in a QB rich draft class on a team that's getting like a top five pick. So, I mean,
yeah, it doesn't help that his team drafts at the beginning of the draft every year since like 94.
Yeah.
Not since Mark Rippon has been there.
Oh God.
Mark Rippon and Art Monk.
Gary Clark.
Who was the running back on that team when they went to the
Timmy,
Super Bowl?
Like the Super Bowl MVP was like Timmy Smith, I think, and he like had like one like half a decent season, and then the Super Bowl he was really good and he won MVP, I think, or I don't know if he won MVP, but he had like a really good game that Super Bowl, and then he was kind of done after that. It was like a Dexter Jackson.
Yeah, it was 1992, not 93.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I was
like
in third grade. MVP was Mark Rippon.
Yeah, that's what I thought was like Mark Rippon or him. And then he had like a Dexter Jackson like Super Bowl.
Do you know who did the halftime show?
Did he?
For that Super Bowl? Van Halen?
Nope. it was the Minnesota Marching Band. Brian Boitano and Dorothy Hamill did a figure skating thing, and the singer was Gloria Estefan.
Whoa, with the Miami Sound Machine?
I'm trying to see if I can find the rosters.
For what?
So here's something I didn't know about. Here's some we're getting random trivia real fast, then I'll leave it alone. So it was supposed to be Michael Jackson here at the Metrodome in Minnesota, which would have been cool.
What?
But he was moved to the following year because they were nervous because they lost a ton of halftime viewership because they got counter-programmed by Fox, who ran a special live episode of In Living Color. And it was getting so much steam, they moved Michael Jackson out and brought in Gloria Estefan.
I do remember there being like an In Living Color like during the halftime show. But I think I watched In Living Color actually instead of the halftime show.
Hell yeah, In Living Color was the deal, man. So they had was Ernest Biner they had. On that team.
Was it Timmy Smith?
They had Gerald Riggs. And let me look at this last thing, and then we're gonna get to the next phony phone. Yeah, they had Ernest Biner was a Pro Bowler. They went 14-2. Mark Schlereth was their guard. Daryl Green.
What did Seattle's guy say about? Did he say anything about Zach Charbonnet?
No, we didn't even talk.
Damn
about
it.
We'll leave that for when we do the team preview in the summer.
Okay.
That was just we're just talking draft. So, but that's okay, because we're gonna do some more drafts. We're talking some more stuff. Damn it! Jump into it, Lucas. You with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going, guys?
Hey, how we doing, sir? Long time no talking, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, man. It's been a while, but things have been good. How are you guys doing?
Rock and rolling. I think the last time we spoke to Lucas was either when we did our last draft or when I jumped on with you and your buddy on talking on your guys' network.
Yeah.
But it's the draft.
Listen, I'll tell you this. The last time I was on, I specifically remember you guys asking me how many wins are the Cowboys going to get. I said 12. And the two of you laughed like crazy. And what ended up happening? We won 12 games. So
how long ago was
later,
that?
And I'm still remembering that.
That was last year, the year before.
It was the year before.
Yeah, it was. I'll take it. Like, where's the trash button? Let me play the where's the trash finale? Because I'll give myself that for sure. There it is. Spit take ending.
I just got soaked.
Yes, oh, I deserve it. I deserve it. But we got draft, man. It's the favorite time of the year. Brought Elijah's back with us this year. He came back from standing eight count, so we got a three-headed monster this year. But Elijah, you're coming in hot. Luke, you follow up with him. I'll leave it to you, sir.
All right. So I'm just going to say, I just want to know, what do you think the Cowboys are going to do in this draft? Like, I haven't followed them a ton this offseason. I know that they signed Eric Kendricks.
Their long snapper.
They signed a long – okay. And then I know they signed Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
After he was like, I'm going to the 49ers. And then he's like, nope, I'm going to the Cowboys now. So,
yeah.
And I know, like, Tony Pollard walked. But what do you think they're going to do in the draft? Like, what do you think their biggest needs in the draft are, and what they're going to try and, like, fill, and what they're going to try and do to restock the team?
I mean, first and foremost, I mean, like, we lost a lot this offseason. Like, just looking back, man, we lost our starting center in Tyler Biadasz. We lost our starting left tackle in long time. Future Hall of Famer, Tyron Smith, you know, those are two crucial pieces that I think are going to be really felt. And those are the two positions that I'm thinking the Cowboys are really going to have to, you know, really target in the draft, because, I mean, we saw what happened in free agency, and Jerry didn't want to pull out his oil money. So we're going to have to go ahead into the draft and try to find someone to step in right away and try to fill in at least one of the starting roles, because if we're going in with two very inexperienced players and players that just aren't trustworthy, this offense is not going to look good at all. I mean, I was concerned last year seeing how things fell apart, and that's, you know, with all of the pieces in play, and never mind losing two starters and two very reliable starters. So offensive line is most definitely the major need, and then I think they're going to have to shift their focus over to linebackers, because it's been how many years now that the Cowboys have just been run over game after game, and they've done nothing really to fix it. They've tried signing, you know, a couple of defensive tackles, and that just really hasn't worked. So we lost Leighton Van Der Esch because he retired due to health issues, and now we're down. The remaining linebackers are undersized, and linebacker, getting that guy that can kind of plug the gaps in the run game is going to be a huge need as well. I'm looking, you know, day two, they're probably going to have to look toward that. But first and foremost, offensive line, and then if they're lucky and they have a piece that kind of falls into the lap, we're going to have to find a wide receiver, because now we're down to Cooks and CeeDee Lamb, and then behind him is just the abyss at this point.
Talking about those wide receivers, obviously, like you said, they need to address that issue. Is there one in particular in day two or three that you would hope, like a Luke, what's that guy's name? Luke McConkey, is that his name? From Georgia?
Ladd McConkey.
That's it. There we go. Thank you, Elijah.
Yep.
Is there one that you have your eyes on to possibly replace that loss of Michael Gallup, who left?
I'm looking at two wide receivers right now. There's Ricky Pearsall from Florida.
Ooh.
He's more
yeah.
of a slot guy, but honestly, that's the type of guy that we need. I know CD likes to play in the slot too, but CD is so good. He can play pretty much anywhere and dominate. We have a guy like Ricky come in, and he's going to be a good, solid guy. I love his intensity in the game, and he's always out there putting 100% into his routes, whether it's he's going to be the primary receiver on that play or not. In the run game, you're going to constantly see him go out there. You see, I think you learn a lot about a wide receiver's character when you see them actually put effort into the run game. So the fact that he actually does impresses me, and I know for a fact if he's going to come to Dallas, and, you know, with the coaching staff that we have, we got a lot to work with in having a guy like him come in. You know, he's got solid route running. He's always trying to stay in front of DBs to make sure he's at least an option for the quarterback, which is always great, and it's something that we've had an issue with in the past. My only concern is sometimes it can be a little bit inconsistent at the line of scrimmage, and he can get beat with press. But my hope is that, you know, running with bunches in the slot will kind of cover up for that. And then if not him, there's another wide out from Alabama, Jermaine Burton. You know, someone that's a little bit more competitive at the catch point, but still got that amazing athleticism. And any wide receiver coming out of Alabama tends to be a pretty safe bet at this point. So that's definitely another route that I'm looking to go forward to. Both guys are probably going to end up going in the second round, maybe top of the third, depending on how the draft kind of shakes out. I know it's not the easiest draft to predict this year. There's so much talent, and I think I'm just glad that we have those options considering how top-heavy the draft class is. We're going to have some talented guys fall to us late in the second.
Yeah, I like Purcell out of the slot because he's actually pretty explosive. He's a lot more explosive than your typical slot guy, like almost 4.3 speed, 42-inch vert. Like, he tested really well at the combine. And he's like 6'1".
Yeah.
He'd be a nice fit for you guys in the slot. Like, he was a guy that kind of jumped up for me or out to me at the combine. He looked good at the combine.
Yeah, exactly. And if you watch a bit of his tape, he's one of those guys that his specialty is going ahead and trying to find a way to get open. He's not going to be someone that's just looking to compete at the catch point. And with a quarterback like Dak Prescott, he likes to find those open guys. So we got a guy like Purcell who's able to use that explosive, like you said, to kind of do the hard step and get open. That's exactly what we need, and that's exactly what we've been missing. And Gallup didn't offer that. You know, after his injury, he didn't have that same explosiveness. And at that point, we were pretty much relying on CeeDee Lamb because Cooks was just constantly running downfield vertically. So we lost all of that. So having him would be a perfect fit.
The running back position, Tony Pollard left this offseason, like Elijah mentioned earlier. Right now you have Rico Dowdle. Do you think they address this need early with like a Blake Corum or Trey, what's his name? Out of Florida State.
Trey Benson.
There you go.
They got Deuce too.
Yeah, but he's like 5 feet tall.
If Deuce is out there as their starting running back, oh my god, bro. I'm gonna go to the start and just ask for a contract at that point. Like, straight up, the only thing Deuce is really gonna be good for at this, like, don't get me wrong, I see potential for Deuce. But right now, he's just not there. He's really quick. He's really agile. He's got good speed. But he's really small. He's really easy to tackle. I don't know how you're going to be such a successful running back unless you're out of this world fast and quick. And he's good. He's just not there yet. I mean, Rico Dowdle has been good for us. He's more of that power back type of guy compared to, you know, Pollard. He played that role with us last year, and he was good. Like, we gave him the ball. He was a really good downhill runner. I don't know if I'm going to rely on him to beat the RB1. At the same time, I don't know how much options we have, but the great thing about the running back position is they're just so damn cheap, man. So heading into the season, we'll be able to find anybody to kind of come in and help us out if we can't find someone in the draft. So in terms of the running back situation, I'm really not worried at all. I do not expect the Cowboys to go ahead early and draft a running back because, man, we still got Zeke's contract on our books, and that is a reminder in itself not to go ahead and draft a running back that early. So definitely day one, I don't think an eye is going to go anywhere near any running backs. Day two, even then, I kind of have a hard time thinking about drafting a running back. It's got to be day three, man. You can find a lot of talented running backs late in the draft. And, you know, look at Isaiah Pacheco. He's the perfect example, man. And I know it's more of those, like, one-hit wonders. You're not always going to find the best back in, like, the seventh round or anything. But there's just so many talented backs out there, whether it's signing a free agent or getting a late high upside running back. There's so many options. There's no point in going ahead and making that reach for running back at the top of the draft at this point because we have so many other needs we need to address.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it seems most running back draft classes are kind of deep nowadays just because the position isn't as valued and, like, athletes keep getting better. So, I mean, like, you guys could possibly draft a guy like Jalen Wright, like, on day three, who was, like, super good at Tennessee. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it doesn't look good on paper, the running back situation, but that probably will be an easy hole to fill and not, like, feel it too much. There's probably more bigger concerns on the team. So what do you think? I know we're kind of, like, talking draft and stuff, but I just wanted to get your take, being a Vikings fan, how you feel about drafting, how you feel about signing Eric Kendricks.
I like it. I mean, that's a name that I've respected for a long time. He's been great, except for when we played you guys with our back quarterbacks, and he hasn't been so good. But other than that, he's been great, and he's the type of guy that we need. You know, he's a big leader. We got a young group of guys over there, so he's going to be able to step in and kind of lead the crew. He's a bit of a bigger guy compared to what we have on our team, which is saying something in itself. But he definitely packs a punch when he hits. He's that type of guy that we're going to need to come in and at least give us a high floor compared to what we had before. Because, I mean, like I said, we're running thin right now. Right now, before Eric Kendricks, their top middle linebacker was Overshown, who didn't even play last year because he was injured in the preseason. So we were heading in extremely fresh. So the fact that we were able to get someone like Eric Kendricks for just under $3 million on the year, I love it. I absolutely love it. And if he doesn't pan out, it was $3 million. We at least get him for the locker room. We at least get him to help our young guys kind of rise up. And to me, it's a win-win situation regardless. And it's a one-year deal at the end of the day. You can't really go wrong with that.
Yeah, I feel it's – oh, sorry, Luke.
That wasn't me. That was Ryan.
Oh, Ryan, you're back.
I'm back. I got we are lifting. I got to ask you a question here, Mr. 12-4 or 12-5 yourself, calling your shot and whatnot like that. But I'll take it. If you guys crash and burn again this year, are you drafting a late round quarterback to try to
Dak
maybe
ain't it.
Scare Dak into figuring it out on the closing, or? Is there no other quarter? You guys not touching QB this draft?
I wouldn't be surprised if we get a late round quarterback, but the problem is we still got Trey Lance, and we're looking at Lance as that late round.
Oh yeah, good call.
If it wasn't for Lance, and if we were to ship him out, then absolutely. But
that's good.
Right now, until that situation is handled, I don't see it right now.
Can you imagine that draft that with Fields and Lance, we've seen three of those quarterbacks get traded for nothing,
and they're now backups.
Like, this has got to go into the consideration of the Akili Smith, Cade McNown, Tim Couch draft. I think at some point.
And people are saying it's one of the best drafts. People are saying, like, this is one of the best QB drafts. Like, it's just nuts how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because you never know. You never know.
I was going to ask you one question, again, not draft related, but, man, what was going on this offseason with Cowboys Twitter and, like, CeeDee Lamb's mom and Dak Prescott's brother and Micah Parsons, like, they're all kind of going in on each other. Like, CeeDee Lamb's mom was like, Dak ain't it. And then, like, Dak's brother tweeted out something. And then I think, didn't Micah Parsons tweet out something? Like, that must have been kind of a funny, like, interesting time in Cowboys land.
Man, one thing you'll learn is being a fan of a team that gets way too much attention, a lot more than they probably should get, is you just brush these things off, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, whatever the hell that whole situation was, that is what it is. I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, it was just, like, something that they did themselves just to, like, screw around with people, because that's what you get, man. Like, think about it. We have an owner that just said that we were going to go all in, and tell me one great move he made this offseason, because I can't think of it. But we're going all in. Anything that happens with the Dallas Cowboys, in terms of media, in terms of somebody said something, it's all BS, man. Like, nothing's going to happen. Like, at the end of the day, nothing happens unless it's on the field or unless it's something that's actually signed. If somebody says something, I don't give a damn, man. We have Bayless coming on and talking about us. Like,
clearly.
Nothing, yeah, like, nothing about this team makes sense. It really doesn't. It doesn't. Like, I'm talking as a Cowboys fan that's traumatized and just has learned to just brush these things off, and really the only thing that matters is whatever the hell happens on the field. And clearly, it's been great during the regular season, not so good in the postseason, so things clearly haven't worked out, but nothing's going to change until the kingpin himself, the Emperor Jerry Jones, is out. So
he's gonna be out there looking like what's that dude's name? Unlimited power. He's gonna be looking like that man out there.
Palpatine.
Like, yeah, Palpatine's gonna be out there. Unlimited power. And running around. And
yeah, man, he's gonna be like the Emperor. I swear. Oh my god.
So I pulled up 2021. There was 10 quarterbacks drafted. I think there's only one that has panned out. That is nuts. You had Sam Ellinger, Ian Book, Davis Mills, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Zach Wilson.
Yikes.
And then, obviously, Trevor Lawrence was one.
And
if
he's
there's
circumstances.
Lawrence, like, if you take, yeah, I mean, like, Lawrence, he's made a Pro Bowl, he's made a playoff, like, he'll be in the league for 10, 15 more years.
Oh, yeah.
But those other nine, is it the worst, I mean, that's the worst quarterback class ever?
Hey, man, it's the NFL, though. It's tough to transfer over. Like, I know we have so much investment in these quarterbacks because we kind of need it, but think about it. How many good quarterbacks are there really in the NFL? There's, like, 10 guys maybe you can rely on, if anything. Other than that, everything's just, you know, a pick of the draw. So
can you think of when 90% of one position was trash?
I mean, if you really think about, like, valuing it, like, how many quarterbacks are you gonna take and be comfortable with? There's always mm-hmm. gonna be somebody that you'd rather have. Obviously, we're gonna have, like, schemes, you know, mm-hmm. making things different and everything, but the grand reality is you only have a couple quarterbacks that you're really comfortable with. Other than that, it's going to be you're on the edge of your seat.
Man, that's wild. 2022, there was only one first rounder, and it was Kenny Pickett, and he's been traded.
Yep.
I just got myself down a terrible deep dive, and I apologize to all three of you. But I'm just like, Kenny Pickett and then Desmond Ridder, both have been traded.
Yep.
Malik Willis, nothing. Like, Matt Corral,
hey.
Suck my ass. Like, Matt Corral?
Matt Corral isn't even in the league. He's in the UFL now, I think.
Yeah, he's going to play with He Hate Me.
Robbie
the
Martin.
Vikings are going to be in that running. Let's search for their quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm starting to
You just let your boy Kirk walk away to Atlanta.
God. Atlanta can suck my ass too.
I just man, like I don't think our team was in the position to offer him as much as Atlanta
no.
could, and I'm okay with that because
I think
like,
it's the 4 years that got us.
Yeah, because we
now
have,
the
like,
question is now what? Now what? Now what are you gonna
now
do?
Now we gotta find a QB and build our defense up.
this draft.
So now you're
going to
turn into the Bears, trading to find a quarterback, and it's going to be that constant battle. This is what I mean. There's only a couple quarterbacks you can actually rely on. And even Kirk you couldn't even rely on. But he's still one of the better ones.
Look.
Yeah.
Look, Kirk Cousins died for us, okay? I'm just kidding.
Kirk Cousins died for our sins.
Yeah. I went to high school. And I just saw Kirk Cousins everywhere.
Jesus,
man,
Cousins.
It's gonna be hard, man. And I'll say this in all seriousness, and I'm not trying to like be that happy-go-lucky dick rider here with it, but Sam Darnold has had no hope anywhere he's gone until he signed here. Maybe there's something there. Probably not, but
there might
be. I'm just saying, like. And look at the situations he was in before this one. Like, he has been put in some of the worst situations in the NFL.
Robbie,
I mean, he
the
was
back. The you
Jets
have the
line.
Slightest bit of optimism?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I have to.
I'm impressed.
Because Nate Mullins or Nick Mullins is trash. I have no confidence in him. And we're going to a giant, like, we're renting this like super expensive cabin for the draft, and somebody's Luke, who's been a little quiet since I got back, but he's gonna fist fight somebody if we draft Bo Nix. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here for this quarterback spot with us.
I'm throwing
you
hands.
Need something.
This is long
you
as we don't trade up for
Bo Nix and continuing where you are now.
As long as we don't trade up for Drake, May, I'm okay.
Yeah, no Drake. I think at the end of the day, if we get one of the other four, I won't be mad.
Yeah.
I think I've worked myself into that much of a shoot. But then again, you know, maybe we don't finish the story.
So, Luke, I got a question for you, Lucas. So,
hey, what's up?
Say, first round pick, you can be the GM. You're taking anybody like in that range. Who's your first round pick for the Cowboys?
My first rounder got to be Jackson Powers Johnson, man.
Boom.
From Oregon. He's got to be the
Boom.
Guy.
Oh my God.
He's someone
I would love
I've been
him in Minnesota.
Eyeing a lot.
I would love him in Minnesota. Get Garrett Bradbury the fuck out of here. Like, but where we're picking at, it might be a little too, like, rich, but, like, he would be – I would love him on the purple, to be honest. We put up with Garrett Bradbury for too long, but, yeah, he's going to be a really good player, like, probably a perennial pro bowler.
Oh, he will.
Yeah,
he's good.
That dude's,
yeah.
That
I mean,
dude's going to be a monster.
Too. You brought him up, Elijah, for the fact that he plays center and guard. I mean, this guy's got
yeah.
two of the easiest positions that he could dominate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I'll say this. Luke, if you remember when we had Lucas on a couple years before and asked him that question, he said there's a guy I want named Micah Parsons, and that sure panned out well. So, with that being said,
who could turn down a a linebacker that runs a 4-3 that's a blitzing monster.
I'm just saying, he nailed his win-loss prediction correctly, and he nailed exactly who they were going to draft, and both of them came true and worked. That's all I'm saying. So he just added the endorsement that I needed to hear that I already knew for Jackson Powers Johnson.
Hey, and just another heads up. When I was doing some tape watching, there's another guy that's kind of like Micah in this draft, Peyton Wilson, NC State.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for his injuries, and if he was maybe a little bit bigger, and he was able to take on blocks a bit better, oh, man. He whips around the field. He's the captain. He does not stop running. Amazing tackler. He blitzes like crazy, just like Micah. The way he rolls around and he plays every single linebacker position, on the line, off the ball, lines up with the running back, doesn't matter where he is. He always ends up by the end of the play, he's always around the ball. He's got that kind of same type of factor that Micah does, but the only problem is the injuries.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about him too, and he probably would be going a lot higher if he didn't have the injury history. But I mean,
damn, God, you delivered that line like you had some bad news. That was fantastic.
This draft is so deep. I mean, it's just
there's quality. Like we're gonna see, like it's gonna be worth watching Friday, Saturday. Because there's going to be quality. You're going to be like, oh, I recognize him, or oh, I remember him, or oh, I saw him, or I mocked him earlier. You know, like there's going to be value that's worth watching, and I think that's what's going to be nice about this draft is I think we're going to see a lot of fresh faces that are going to come in and do some stuff. I'm telling you, man, I still think the steal of the draft is going to be Quinyon Mitchell. I'm riding him, man. Quinyon Mitchell is going to be good.
I know. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to, man. Like, I haven't been this excited about a draft in a while. So, yeah, man, I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Lucas, before we let you go, as per normal, I think it's the 24th this year, but the Wednesday before the draft, we'll be doing our live on-air mock. So if you're free and we can get you to come on and pick for that Dallas team again, we obviously would love to have you for the live mock. But, so we'll keep in touch about that. But, hey, man, plug everything you
Absolutely.
Got for our listeners, once again, that may not have heard you the other times we've had you on.
Yeah, man, you can find everything about me on my Twitter. It's at Lucas Mashering. I'm in a bit of a transition stage right now. But, hey, man, I'm still getting stuff done. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the future has for me, whether it's writing, making other content and stuff. So if you follow me there, you're going to keep up with everything that I've been doing. And, yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Well, you will always be our Landry hat, Lucas, and you can remember that. Damn
yes,
it.
Absolutely, man. I'm never going to forget those days.
All right, so well, thanks again for coming on. And like I said, we'll be in touch, too, as we get closer to the draft, see if we can sneak you on for that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys.
Heck yeah, we'll talk again soon. Lucas Masher, ladies and gentlemen, Dallas Cowboys. That answers my Landry hat question, Luke.
Yeah, it does.
Want to hear a joke? Is this from the Discord or not the Discord?
I was wondering where they're going to get another tuba player for the band.
What the hell?
That was when me and Jordan used to do a segment called Spit Takes.
And oh, yeah, that's right.
We would do, like, the funny things, and then when we would transition to the next Spit Take, we'd play this.
Man.
Luke, what was that, did you come up with that three strikes?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
The show is, like, glitching. For some reason, like, everybody is hitting the ball to left field.
Oh, that's funny.
Like,
that's
everybody,
weird.
Like, only my guy's only hitting it to left field. Every time I get on base and someone gets up to bat, they hit it to left field.
Maybe
they're
swinging it early.
Yeah,
no,
all,
it's,
like,
no,
it's... Hitters?
No, it's the computer.
No!
I'm a switch hitter.
No!
No! I'm a switch hitter. And even the computer, like, there's a lefty up right now. And
are you playing this right now?
Yes.
I told you, I said the one thing he always does is play the show while we're doing the show. So if you ever catch him slipping, it's because he's probably in a heated at bat or something.
Three, like me and three other guys have hit it to left, like, all I've been doing is hitting it to left field, and everybody in the game has been hitting it to left field for some reason.
You know what that tells me who's in left field?
Who?
Oh, my man just started throwing babies out the window. We was catching them, unlike
Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Like, Aguilar. Remember this? I forgot about that. I got one more to play. I'm sorry.
Like I said, if you put them in the Eastern Conference, they could be fighting for that playoff spot also.
Splitting an award, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take it.
We don't either.
Because, see, there's an asterisk on Ben Simmons because
Hold on, there's a what?
There's an asterisk. Because he's in his second year. He had a chance to...
Asterisk.
You are killing me tonight.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
It's like East Coast killing me.
Look, you guys, y'all just speak proper English
we
every
do,
second.
Paul.
But anyway.
Asterisk. There's an ostrich. There's an ostrich on Ben Simmons' back, and you hear Jalen Rose go, asterisk.
Asterisk.
Jalen Rose is like, you big dummy. And then it's no hope. Then he's just getting tag-teamed by him and Michelle Beadle, and they're just killers, and they just tear him apart. Oh, that shit's good. What do you got for three strikes? Yeah, we'll tag-team it.
Do you have one, Ryan, or no?
No, I don't. Because then I started hitting the switchboard when you wanted me to look for one of these.
Okay, so the top 10 oldest players to throw for 4,000 yards in a season.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. Aaron Rodgers?
He is one.
Yeah.
So some of these names are doubled, like Tom Brady's like the top 10, but he's only going to count once because he played until he was like 100 fucking years old. So he doesn't count.
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers is one, yes.
Damn, 4,000 yards, oldest players.
We didn't say Tom Brady yet, so Tom Brady.
Yeah, there you go. I gave you one, I guess.
Oh, I thought you said he didn't count.
No,
he was saying
the
10 times don't count, just the one time.
Because he played for like 7 seasons after he turned 40, where he threw for over that.
Yeah, he was just meaning no repeats.
Oh, okay. God, I got this. I got a guy in mind, but I don't know. Like, I got a couple guys in mind, and I'm not sure if they're went over 4,000 or if it's like really close. Oh, all right.
What
are
you thinking? Let's talk it out.
I'm thinking Cunningham and Testaverde.
Ooh, I like both of those.
But I don't know like about Cunningham though. I feel like it's a big part. Like I feel like Testaverde, they talk about like it's been mentioned more or like that. He kind of had like one of those like just off the wall, like really good seasons, like in his older age. I know Cunningham did too, but I don't think Cunningham threw the 4,000 yards the year that.
What about Moss's rookie year though? Was he 40 that year?
Cunningham?
Yeah.
He was old. I don't know. He was up there.
Cause that year, I don't know. I think the Testaverde's a good one too.
All right, let's go Testaverde.
He is not on the list.
I thought that was a good one. I was all for that one, to be fair. What about, like, are we underthinking it? Like, what, like Dan Marino and stuff?
I think you're overthinking it.
Yeah, Joe Montana.
He's not on the list.
Damn.
Yeah, he didn't. Philip Rivers?
He is on the list. He did it with Indianapolis in 2020.
And we might have to think more modern quarterbacks, maybe, too.
That's why I said you guys are overthinking it.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Ryan, what do you think about Matt Ryan?
Yes, I like that one.
He did not make the top 10.
Oh, was Warren Moon on there?
He's actually not even on the list. Matt Ryan didn't pass for over 4,000 yards over the age of 40.
Oh,
he's
Drew Brees, duh.
Drew Brees is on the list. What did you say, Ryan?
What about Warren
Matt
Moon?
Stafford?
Warren Moon is on the list.
Fuck.
Was Matt Stafford on the list?
No, because he's not 40 yet.
Yeah, he's like 33.
Oh, I thought you said the. I thought you said oldest. Okay, I missed the 40 part. I thought you said
this,
oldest.
Yeah, over 40 years old is the only on this list.
Oh, okay, over 40.
Is Brett Favre on there?
He is.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner.
He is.
Yeah.
He's number 10.
Dang, too bad we got three strikes. We had to have hit most of them.
You did. You missed Peyton Manning.
Dan Fouts.
Oh, God.
Peyton Manning.
You missed his brother, Eli Manning.
I was going to say Eli, and I didn't. When I after he said Rivers, I was like, oh, shit, Eli, same draft. He must have done it, and I didn't
say it.
And
the last one you guys missed, which I was surprised with, because Ryan is an Arizona Cardinals fan. Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was where I was gonna go after I went Kurt Warner, and then I just stopped thinking about it. But yeah, I would have hit those old Cardinals guys.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay,
damn.
That was a show. It was a fun little show. We had a weird first half hour, and then we got a couple callers, and then we started talking.
We had a couple callers.
Yeah, then we send, like, right when you came on and we started talking about, oh, did you listen in the car? And you're like, well, I didn't know we were on. And then we're like, we said we were going to do this. And then the callers all left. So we chased them off by being boring for 10 minutes.
So
that's okay.
We'll have to talk about this off the air.
Well, I'm going to my Xbox if you guys want to chat.
All right.
I gotta see if there's a bun in the oven, if you know what I'm saying.
Can I tell you guys my funny joke first?
Yeah.
A bun in the oven.
Because I want to play some plate up.
What's Forrest Gump's password?
Jenna?
No.
Brother?
No.
It's gotta be like, I know like where he's going. I don't even want to say this.
Yeah, like it's appropriate, but it's just so funny.
What's the answer?
One forest one.
Oh
God, I hate you so much.
Dad joke.
Isn't that so funny?
Goodness gracious. Hold
on, I got one more. Sorry. What state is known for its small pops?
Small pops?
Minnesota. Yeah.
Minnesota.
Oh, God, I hate both of you more than I did a minute ago. Elijah got off the hook because he has Penix envy, but now it's back.
That's so funny. Nobody
I also...
Left, right.
Joel Klatt from Fox Sports just released his mock, and he has six quarterbacks in the first round.
Holy shit. Who? Like, I know who, but who? Where? Who, where, why, what, when?
The farthest one is Michael Penix at 21 to the Dolphins.
Ooh.
I've actually heard a lot about, like, the Dolphins drafting a quarterback there because...
Dude, did you...
Contract.
Did you hear some? So Nick Wright was on today saying the Vikings should trade 14 and 23 for Tua.
Yeah, I heard that.
Man, I would take Tua.
I would take Tua, but not for 14 and 23.
No, not at all.
Well, yeah, we don't have 14 anyway, so that's perfect.
I mean, 11 and 23, whatever.
Fuck the Saints.
Our two first round picks. our first.
The only way I'd do it is if we got, like, a second back, too, or, like, 21 back with it.
I mean, I would maybe do it for, like, 23, or, like, I don't even know if I would do it for a first-round pick.
I would give 11 for Tua. 100%. Because we would be getting a proven commodity and not a risk.
Yeah, Tua is good. Like, I would like him. I just don't.
Even
I just thought
it becomes
two first.
Yeah, you're right. Two first, you're right. You're right. Definitely right. I just
keep going.
I look at it as this team is being so well built to make a run with the right piece, he would do the same thing that I think Cousins is going to do to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I say that because with our line issues, as we've talked about, Tua is just a different quarterback than Kirk. And Tua is one of the very few that I would take over Kirk. I fell in love with Tua last year. When I watched Hard Knocks, the Miami Dolphins, I fell in love with
Tua. Did you fall in love with the stripper? Did you fall in love with the stripper too?
I wish, man. Send her over. This dude's mock draft is one of the wildest mock drafts. And I'll tell you what, if you want to go by need and how much I enjoy it, this is the best mock draft I've seen, like top to bottom.
Let's hear it.
So you want me to start at 32 or start at 1?
Start at 1.
Okay, so we got Caleb Williams, Bears.
Yep.
Drake May, Commanders. Jaden Daniels, Patriots. Marvin Harrison, Cardinals. Then us trading to 5 to take McCarthy. Adunze at 6 to the Giants. Alt to the Titans. Dallas Turner, Falcons. Bears taking Olu Fashanu. So the Jets then, who I've been seeing linked to Marvin Harrison now as a trade, Jets take Malik Nabers, still get their guy, don't have to trade. Chargers at 11 then take Brock Bowers. Denver, who none of us care about, then take Bo Nix. Thank you. Get him away from us. So that's a great play. Raiders take Talisi Fuaga. Saints, Jared Verse. Colts, Quinion Mitchell. Seahawks, Byron Murphy. Jags, Terry Arnold. The Bengals get Brian Thomas, Jr. Amarius Mims, Rams. J.C. Latham, Steelers. Penix to the Dolphins. Eagles, who always seem to get the riches. Jackson Powers, Johnson. Chargers take Tyler Guyton. Cowboys get Troy Fatano. Packers get Nate Wiggins. Bucks get Ennis Rakestra, Jr. Cardinals get Chop Shop Robinson. Bills, Cooper DeJean. The Lions get Kool-Aid McKinstry. Ravens, Keon Coleman. Niners, Johnny Newton. And the Chiefs get Troy Franklin from Oregon. That's a great
nice.
Mock draft.
Yeah, that is a good mock draft.
I don't think there's anything I don't like about that. Damn, Lucy,
yeah.
You okay, Lou?
Yeah, I'm...
He's dying.
Anything queued up next week, Luke, that you have going for us, or are we... we're
not as of right now.
Well, we will keep on our socials. Luke's running that Twitter. I've been doing a little bit on the Facebook. Check us out. We will be releasing guests from, you know, next week as we get there. And as before, next week, now as we have been getting deeper into our off-season here, and we're going to be less than a month away, next Friday as well on the 29th, our mock draft 3.0. So we're right in the midst of our middle draft, and I'm damn excited for it. That's all I got, y'all. Anything else?
I think Elijah's a beautiful man.
Would we like to hear?
No. No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Just don't get me drunk.
What?
Whoa! What does that mean?
Yeah.
I might start throwing trees.
Hell yeah, you better.
As long as you don't throw them at me, I don't care what the fuck you do with the tree.
Take that for data.
I will bid us adieu with this one more time. We got y'all, Sportscast Radio.
No! No!